You're tuned in to the Kojo Nan, the show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Later in the broadcast, we check in on the Chesapeake Bay, which is, again, in declining health, according to a recent report. But first, the partial federal government shutdown has hit the Washington region particularly hard, as many local federal employees are either staying home or coming into work but not getting paid. But federal employees are not the only ones feeling the squeeze. Today, we look at how restaurants and bars are struggling with the drop in patronage, and also how they're trying to make life easier for furloughed workers who don't know when they'll see another paycheck. Joining me in studio is Al Goldberg, founder of Mess Hall and co-founder of PayItFurloughed.com. Al Goldberg,
thank you for joining us. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Also with us in studio is Anthony Harris. He's the principal owner of Bullfeathers. Anthony Harris, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, sir. Thank you.
And Jessica Sidman is again with us. She's food editor at Washingtonian. Jessica, good to see you again.
Hi, Kojo. Good to see you.
Jessica, just how hard is the local restaurant and bar industry being hit in the shutdown?
It's being hit hard. January is already a very tough month for restaurants. You have people with their New Year's resolutions going on diets, not drinking because of dry January, trying to save money after the holidays. So this is one more big thing on top of all of it. And, you know, the federal workforce is a big part of the dining force in D.C. And those people are trying to save money as they miss paychecks.
And this is a time of year where generally bars and restaurants see a slight drop in business, do they not?
Exactly. As I was saying, January is one of the roughest months for restaurants already, as I mentioned, after the holidays, saving money, going on diets.
Resolutions.
Yes. So good and bad sides to the resolutions.
Speaking of people making resolutions. Anthony Harris, you own a bar on Capitol Hill, Bullfeathers.
That's correct.
And other Stonies on L and the Stonies on P Street.
That's correct, sir.
Bullfeathers is frequented by a lot of Hill staffers, but also by many government employees. How are you doing in the shutdown?
We're probably down about 40% at the present time. As Jessica said, the January is a tough month, but with this closure now, it's really given us a hard time right now.
And being on Capitol Hill, your establishment is a hangout for many people in politics. How did the fact that 2018 was an election year affect your bottom line?
The last quarter of the year was a little bit slower because of a lot of the Congress out of town going home to campaign. And you got to remember something. The government is the industry of Washington. And if the government's not around, the people aren't around to come and lobby for their causes, what have you. And we do a fair amount of events up there. So that's been limited lately now because if the government is not here, they're not coming.
So
tourists also is another factor. With all the museums that are closed and everything's closed up, and we're not picking up the tourism as much as we normally do.
So you're kind of experiencing a 1-2 punch right now.
Absolutely.
Both with the election and with the government shutdown.
Yeah, the last quarter of 2018, yes.
Al Goldberg, you run Mess Hall, which is an incubator that hosts various food service operations that don't serve in traditional restaurants. How are those kinds of businesses like food trucks and caterers doing right now? Are they feeling the same kind of pressure as restaurants and bars?
They are. I wish I was here to tell you a different part of the story, but they are definitely suffering too. It's simple math. There's a lot of food trucks that go down to the government areas, set up shop, but absent all of the workers, there are fewer customers, and a lot of the food trucks, for example, are just sitting in a parking lot.
Jessica, and you can answer this too, Al, beyond the shutdown, how are restaurants in the district in general doing right now?
I think 2018 was a really rough year for a lot of restaurants for a number of reasons. I mean, there were so many years where we had opening after opening and all this growth, and, you know, it's so concentrated now. I think people are really fighting for customers and in some cases kind of cannibalizing each other. You know, there may not be enough diners to go around. And on top of that, it was just a really rainy year, as we all remember, the wettest in Washington. And that actually does have a big effect. People don't go out a lot when it rains. And so, yeah, a lot of people have told me in recent months that 2018 was not their best year.
Another is the impact of the wharf development?
Absolutely. I mean, the wharf development, so many restaurants, more than a dozen restaurants and bars over there, drawing a lot of people. maybe away from other areas of the city. You know, they're feeling the pinch because so many people, you know, the Wharf is the hot new thing.
Same question to you, Al.
About the Wharf specifically?
Not about the Wharf specifically, about restaurants in the district in general now that we've become such a restaurant destination.
Well, I mean, I would preface this by saying that I think that the restaurants that we have in town are better than we've ever had. I've been here since 93, so the quality is there, but there are a lot of them. And the Restaurant Association of Metropolitan Washington did a recent survey and found that that the average decrease in January revenues to date has exceeded 20%, with some reporting as high as 60%. So there's definitely a pinch that's happening.
We're talking with Jessica Sidman. She's food editor at Washingtonian. Al Goldberg is founder of Mess Hall and co-founder of PaidFurlough.com. And Anthony Harris is the principal owner of Bull Feathers. Anthony Harris, Restaurant Week is one way that restaurants deal with the post-holiday slump. What exactly is Restaurant Week, and how do local restaurants that participate and bars approach it in normal years?
Well, we don't participate in that because of our menu pricing is the way it is. But it's affected that. I think they extended it Restaurant Week by week, I think, from what I read about.
Yeah, they did. Right? Because of the shutdown,
they extended it
extended through this Sunday.
And we just don't participate in that. But still, when I look back at things, Washington is a very trendy city. When new places open up, everybody runs to new places. That's the way it's been. And with so many places that have opened up now in the last year and a half, 2 years, it's insane what's happening. And plus, the cost of doing business has hurt us. The minimum wage is going up every year now, and the cost of goods sold is it's gone up. Everything's gone up. It's getting tougher.
Al Goldberg, Restaurant Week, as Anthony said, has been extended in response to the lull in eating out during the shutdown. How much of an effect do you think this extension will have on local restaurants?
Smart move. I mean, you normally in Restaurant Week, we see whether it's in the January version and in the August version, it packs the restaurants. And it's a really great marketing endeavor to get people into the restaurants. When they're in the restaurants, they're buying drinks, they're buying additional things, and it just feels better. You know, I think just having a lively atmosphere begets more sales, and it really helps the small businesses that are that make up the restaurant industry in D.C. Unless we forget that there's that the figure that we use is 96% of the restaurants in D.C. are independently owned and operated. So these are real people that are running these restaurants. These are employees that are, depending on paychecks and hourly wages.
Here is, you want to say, Anthony?
Yeah, as businesses drop down at Bull Feathers, we've moved people around, some of our staff, into the other places to compensate for their losses in tips and hours of working. So we have to watch our hourly wage situation. So we have to move the people around to give them, supplement their income.
How has it affected business at Stoney's on L and Stoney's on P?
I would say Stoney's on P is down about 10% and Stoney's on L is about 20% down.
Okay. Here now is Ann in Manassas, Virginia. Ann, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello. I'm an owner of a condominium in Ocean City, and usually at this time of year, my calendar for rentals is very full, and it's mostly federal employees from the D.C. area. Many of the owners of condominiums and rental units in Ocean City pull from the federal employees pool of renters. And this year, my calendar has one person. There's been a lot of cancellations. The people who are renting are from Pennsylvania. And I'm wondering what the effect will be, the ripple effect will be in Ocean City, Maryland, in Colonial Williamsburg, places like that, that rely on federal employee dollars, spending dollars on their vacations this summer.
Well, I got to tell you, Ann, as we think about the ripple effects of this federal shutdown, that one never occurred to me at all, that it could be affecting a place like Ocean City at this time of year, because I frankly was not aware that a lot of federal employees were booking in Ocean City at this time of year. So thank you very much for sharing that information with us. It's something that we can probably take a look at in more depth at a later date. Ann, thank you very much for your call. Jessica, a local brewery, Atlas Brewworks, is suing the acting U.S. Attorney General on First Amendment grounds. Why?
So one of the things that that is shut down with this government shutdown is the process for breweries to have their beer labels approved.
That has to be approved by a federal agency.
Exactly, exactly. So Atlas, they have all this beer ready to go, but they can't get it approved. And so they are, not able to have this name out there, and they're suing the government.
On the basis of their First Amendment rights being violated. Yeah, it's a form of speech labeling.
Yes, interesting strategy. We'll see how it works out, but certainly has gotten some attention.
Well, it's also inspired some other people. Al Goldberg, the lawsuit gave you and food writer Neville Martell an idea called Pay It Furloughed. What is that initiative and how's it going?
Yes, Pay It Furloughed was definitely born out of the need, not necessarily out of this lawsuit, which I think came subsequent, but certainly out of a frustration that Nevin and I were having about our friends and loved ones who have been working without pay or furloughed, as well as the small businesses that have been suffering. And so we devised a platform. It's an online platform called payitfurloughed.com, whereby anyone can go online and buy a government employee a beer. It's just a very simple and pure gesture. And federal employees and contractors can show up to any one of four different breweries that are in town. It's actually three breweries plus Shop Made in DC, which is in DuPont Circle, and have a free draft. In fact, they can have as many as they wish. They show up and show their ID, and they get a little bit of liquid love.
Well, I find the concept fascinating because it's based on a very simple premise, and that is, if you're sitting next to explain that. If you're sitting next to a person at a bar.
You got it. What are you going to do? Somebody tells you this story, you're going to buy them a beer. And this enables you to do that right from your smartphone or in front of a computer at payitfurloughed.com. And you can buy somebody virtually next to you a beer.
Here now is Tony in Bethesda. Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. My point is a brief one. There is quite a large number of federal contractors in the area who will not be in a position to recapture wages.
They won't get back to
them. Yeah, depending on the contract that they have with the agency they're working for, they will potentially be out of pay for 30 or 40 or how many ever days, and we'll never recapture that income. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have heard this before. How can something like paid furlough take contract employees into account?
We do just ask that we are encouraging federal contractors to come down and participate in the program. We are offering beers to them as well. All they have to do is self-identify, and we're working. This is very much based on a trust system, and we've been accommodating a lot of those employees as well.
Got to take a short break. When we come back, we will continue this conversation on how local restaurants and bars make ends meet during the shutdown. Later in the broadcast, we'll be checking in on the Chesapeake Bay, which is again in declining health, according to a recent report. I'm Kojo Nnamdi.
Hi, it's Diane. The next meeting of my book club is on Wednesday, May 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll host a discussion of Mad Honey by Jodi Picco and Jennifer Finney Boylan, followed by a conversation with the authors. Find out more and register at dianereem.org/bookclub.
Welcome back. We're discussing how and what local restaurants and bars are doing to make ends meet during the shutdown and what they're doing for government employees affected by the shutdown. We're talking with Anthony Harris. He's the principal owner of Bullfeathers on Capitol Hill. Al Goldberg is the founder of Mess Hall and co-founder of PayItFurloughed.com. And Jessica Sidman is food editor with Washingtonian Magazine. Jessica, local celebrity chef Jose Andres. His organization, World Central Kitchen, set up a temporary kitchen in D.C. to serve furloughed employees. What has the turnout been like there so far?
I believe the first day they served 4,400 meals, and there were people wrapped around the block. And it's only increased from there and served more and more meals. They're now expanding the program around the country to help feed furloughed workers all over.
Andres has said he will keep the kitchen open until the shutdown ends. He's probably driving his accountant crazy. He has the resources of his relief organization, World Central Kitchen, at his disposal. But are the shutdown freebies and discounts sustainable for smaller operations in the long run?
I do worry about it a little bit because I think a lot of places started offering discounts and freebies at the beginning, thinking this is only going to last a few days. This morning I heard from And Pizza, which has served more than 20,000 free pizzas. And, you know, in some cases, I guess they have to be smart about it, but it can help bring people in the door at a time when they might not otherwise come in the door. You know, you offer a free sandwich and somebody buys a drink, at least that's something. And it does build goodwill when the shutdown ends. People will remember it and want to frequent the places that were there for them.
But And Pizza, 20,000 pizzas is a lot of pizzas. How long can an operation like that sustain?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anthony, a lot of restaurants have been hosting specials for government employees. Anything special going on at Bullfeathers?
We're doing some happy hour specials, some drink specials, but we're limited as to how much we can. And we'll buy some people some drinks when we know that they're out of work right now. But you got to be careful. You got to make those bottom lines because the landlord's not too happy if you don't pay the rent on time.
Exactly right.
So you have to think about that. And let me say this. I've been doing business in the restaurant business now since 1968, and it's 50 years, May 1st of 68.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And I think this is probably the toughest time that I've had when I look back at everything now.
During the course of those 50 years,
that's correct. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of neighborhood changes, and the city's really progressed. It's amazing what's happened with the quality of food that is now in the city. As we're getting Michelin stars in the city now. Of course, our place is not Michelin stars, but we have a niche that we follow, and it seems to work for us, and we've been fairly successful with that.
So this is a 50-year low for you in terms of
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Joan in Washington, D.C., you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thanks so much for letting me share a story about another very considerate company. Actually, it's the bakery in Van Ness, Bread First.
Right down the street from us.
Right down the street.
Up the street,
across the street. exactly. And I walked in the other day, and they had signs throughout the bakery saying, if you are a federal employee, you get our employee discount. And I've been furloughed for several weeks. And it wasn't until that moment that I actually stood there and I said to the cashier, I said, I'm standing here in tears. I said, it's the first time I'm moved by this, but moved in a positive way that there's outreach to those of us who are struggling through this time by such generous acts of kindness. So adding to your guests and your listeners that Bread First, too, is helping those of us out of work at the moment.
Definitely a community institution in these parts, Joan. Thank you very much for your call. Here is Eric in D.C. Eric, your turn.
I just wanted to echo what the previous caller said, and thanks for taking my call, Kojo. Grew up working in a small family-owned single-location restaurant, so I know how difficult the economics can be, but as a furloughed Fed, I've really appreciated what the restaurant has done for us, and when my wife and I go out, she's not a federal employee, so usually I'll take advantage of whatever the discount is, and we'll pay full price for her to try and alleviate that, but just wanted to, you know, get the word out from at least one Fed to the restaurant owners that the goodwill, we certainly appreciate it, and we'll remember that when things are back to normal, when we're choosing where to dine. It's been a fantastic response from the community. So thank you.
Thank you very much for your call, Eric. Jessica, are specials and discounts for government employees mostly away? Well, on the one hand, they get people in the door, but do you know if they're having a real impact on business?
Like you were saying, I think as it drags on, I think it's going to probably hurt some businesses that maybe weren't expecting so many people to come in to get freebies for so long. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, just with the downturn in traffic, if ultimately we do see some closures from maybe some restaurants that were already struggling, and this being kind of the last straw, the thing that ultimately, you know, broke them. I think a lot of times people see it in kind of a charitable way and are hoping that it does bring in long-term goodwill.
We got a tweet from Latia who says, we've been encouraging our employees to purchase lunch and frequent small businesses who are near to government buildings who may be losing business because of the shutdown. And I suspect, Al Goldberg, that would include a lot of food trucks, doesn't it?
Because love it. I mean, I love anybody that's going to go out and support small businesses. We're all about, you know, we're Mess Hall is a community of about 40 different producers. There's personal chefs and caterers and consumer packaged goods, and it all boils down to creating a small, strong local food economy. We love seeing anybody and everybody become supported. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we decided to do this program for the breweries. They're small, independently operated shops as well. And so they're, when somebody comes in and redeems a beer from them, they're getting the price of their beer through this program. They're an example, sort of a little bit of an exception, where they're not taking a discounted code per se that some of the restaurants have sort of had to do to help drive in business, but rather we're driving people in where the breweries do actually really benefit from that. And we've tried to ripple that out. So our mess hall members have been going there to the breweries to provide food. And so they'll vend food from there. And we've even had generous donors want to sponsor our program, and we do a buyout. So we'll do a food truck buyout, send the food truck there so that not only can the beer be obtained for free, but also the food. And the food truck gets paid in full, and the brewery gets paid as well. And it's helping to stimulate small businesses.
Leslie tweets in, don't forget Baked by Yale, feeding the zookeepers who are working without pay. And here's O in Silver Spring. O, your turn.
Hi, Kojo. Longtime fan. Thank you for all you do. Just wanted to reach out. I work for a large company in downtown Silver Spring restaurant industry. We have seen our business slow down significantly due to the shutdown. In fact, I've had several federal employees come in and ask me for discounts as well. We're trying to do all that we can to help out, but we really need this government to open up as well.
Okay, O, thank you very much for your call. Anthony Harris, early in the shutdown, there were reports of some bars seeing a rise in daytime patrons who'd normally be working. Is federal employee day drinking helping to offset any of the losses that restaurants and bars are experiencing otherwise?
I believe that helped in the first few days. And then when things started leveling off and realizing that this thing might last a period of time, people started thinking they're not going to be doing that. You can't do that. You got to watch your money.
Exactly right. So I thought that as much that it would happen during the first few days.
Yeah, it's like a celebration of some sort.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, people treat it almost like a vacation in the first few days. Oh, I have a few days off work. Mm. And they assume they're going to be going back soon. But when you start to miss paycheck, that really changes things.
Lauren tweets in, it's not just the restaurants and bars that are being affected. I have a full-service pet care company and have really taken a hit due to the shutdown. Jennifer emails, I've been furloughed since just after Christmas. I love eating out, but haven't eaten out since I got furloughed. I've never been this worried about having money for groceries and utilities before. The stress is awful. I can't wait until this is over and I can go back to the lemon chicken at my favorite Chinese carryout. Here now is Carrie in Rockville, Maryland. Carrie, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Kojo, how are you? I have a small skate shop in Bethesda, and the sports industry is definitely suffering. You know, there's so many things that take precedence over skateboarding and bicycles and things like that. So this shutdown has a touch, you know, far and wide, sir.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that either. Mm. People are not going to be buying sporting goods as much at this time. Boys of Summer tweets in, my vet's office said there have been lots of clients having to reschedule because they can't pay the vet bills. Here's Matt in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Matt, your turn.
I just wanted to know what kind of strain this is putting on our food bank system, because typically if we had had our federal employees, if they were getting paid like they normally should be, then most of them most likely would not be needing federal food assistance. And since it's kind of a odd situation where people that should have enough money to be able to afford food don't because they're not getting paid, what kind of strain that's putting on the food banks to provide services for people that really are low income.
We had a show about that last week, Matt, and you can go into our archives to see it, in which there is, yes, a great deal more strain on those agencies. A lot of businesses have been stepping forward and making more contributions to them, but they are not sure how much longer they'll be able to deal with this kind of expanded service that they're being required to give. So you can look into our archives and see what they're talking about. Al, Anthony, do you think we can expect to see long-term effects in the food and beverage industry that extend beyond the length of the shutdown? I'm still struck by the fact that in your 50 years in the business, this is the hardest it's been for you.
Yes.
Do you see a long-term effect of this?
Yes, I do. It's going to set us back. This first quarter will be way off. And that once you get, you know, you got to take care of your employees, first of all. That's the most important thing. I can go without a paycheck. The employees need a paycheck, so that we have to take care of them. But it's going to slow us down with a bad first quarter, and hopefully we can pick it up somewhere along the way.
Long-term effects here, Al?
I mean, how do you rebound from it? Let's talk about those employees for a minute. Let's talk about the hourly wage dishwasher. Let's talk about the wait staff. Let's talk about the line cooks who are getting fewer hours. You know, anecdotally, I have a colleague who has a second job as a hostess at a restaurant. Her hours got cut. She hasn't been needed for the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, these are real stories, and it really does trickle down and really ripple out.
Al Goldberg, he's the founder of Mess Hall and co-founder of PaidFurloughed.com. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Anthony Harris is the principal owner of Bull Feathers. Anthony, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Jessica Sidman, food editor at Washingtonian. Jessica, thank you.
Thanks, Kojo.
Going to take a short break. When we come back, we check in on the Chesapeake Bay, which is again in declining health, according to a recent report. I'm Kojo Namdi.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.